Have you ever felt like you were a slave? Oh, no one could see the chains, but you knew that they were there. And you knew that they were there because when you tried to break free, when you tried to get out of that bondage, when you tried to stop doing what you were doing and you knew that it was wrong, you couldn't stop. You couldn't stop. It was like you were a slave. Have you ever seen those movies of Roman times where they pull the slaves up in the slave market and on that slave block and they offer them to the highest bidder and people come around and they feel their muscles and they look at them and some of the men leer at the women and they open their mouths and they check their teeth and everything like animals that are up for sale. Listen, sin puts you up for sale. And God is the one that buys you out of the slave market. Doctrine for the day. Our doctrine for the day is redemption. And it's our doctrine for the day because we've been looking at justification, that which declares us righteous. And we're declared righteous strictly as a gift. And it is all by grace. But it is only possible because of the redemption that has been won for us or wrought for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the doctrine we want to look at today. Now, let me just say this. One of the things that is good to do, it's good to get yourself some tools, either some computer tools that can help you look up the words, the Greek meanings of words, because of all the languages that have ever been recorded, the most exact language is the Greek language. And so that's what the New Testament was written in. That's what the Old Testament was translated into. And when the Old Testament was translated into the Koine Greek, K-O-I-N-E, which was the common Greek of the day, when it was translated into that, they called it the Septuagint, the L-X-X, the Septuagint. So if you're ever reading a commentary and they say the L-X-X, you can know that that's the Septuagint. And it's what they did when they took the Old Testament and put it into Greek. Now, you can look up on your computer Greek word studies, or you can look them up in books like Vine's Expository Dictionary. So we want to take the word redemption, and I want to give you the meaning of the word redemption, but I also want to give you the Greek word. Now, I am not a scholarly in this way. I know the Bible, and I study the Bible, but I am very, very bad when it comes to pronunciation. I never learned my phonics. Phonics weren't in when I was a kid, and I just never learned them. And so, and besides that, I'm a little dyslexic, and I don't learn easily, and I'm not super intelligent, but I know the Word of God, and you can know the Word of God too. Anybody that wants to know God's Word can. All they have to do is come to God and just cry out to God, and God, by His Holy Spirit, then will teach you the Word of God. So let's look at Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. All right, now this word for redemption is A-P-O-L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. All right, and that word has apo and then lutrosis on it. Now, apo means from, and it means to loose from. And so what he's saying is that he has given us redemption through which is in Christ Jesus. He has loosed us from something. Now, this word for redemption means to loosen or to set free by paying a ransom. So this includes the payment of a fee in order to set you free. So there's redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the fee for you and me to be redeemed, to be bought out of the slave market of sin. Now, we're not going to go into it in this study because I'm afraid it'll get too long. But there are words that talk about our redemption. There are words that talk about buying out of the market, buying out of the market and setting free, buying out of the market so it can never, ever be sold again. So these are words that talk about purchasing us out of the slave market of sin so that we can be set free. Now you say, but you know, are you sure I'm in a slave market of sin? Well, haven't you been listening to the first part of Romans? He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. There's not even one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. So when you are born a little sinner. All right, we're going to see that in Romans later on. You're born a little sinner. You are living in sin. And when you live in sin, you become a captive to sin. And I want to show this to you. And so I want you to go to the Gospel of John to the 8th chapter, John chapter 8. And how I love this passage because it so describes what God did for me. In John chapter 8, verse 34, it says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And he goes on to say, and this, if therefore, verse 36, the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, how can he make you free from the slavery of sin? Well, remember the illustration I opened up? Remember the movies that you've seen where they have this gorgeous gal on the slave market, or they have been her, remember? And he was up and he was going to be sold as a slave, and how they treated him and how he was bustling and all of that. Well, we're all in that slave market of sin. We're all up on the block, and God comes along and he buys us. And it's as if the devil is the slave master. And as they come up to purchase us, he says, you don't want that person. You don't know what they're like. And he says, yes, I do. I know what they're like. They're vile. They're evil. Evil to the core. You don't want that person. I want that person. You don't know what it'll cost you. Do you know what it'll cost you? Do you know what it will cost you? And God says, yes, I know what it will cost me. And he turns and he looks at his son. And his son nods his head. Yes, yes, I'll pay the price. Because it's redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at redemption. The price. What is the price for your redemption? Well, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we want to look in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's near the back of the Bible. In fact, you'll find it after Hebrews. And it's James, and then it's Peter, and it's John. So it's 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says this. Knowing, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed, there's that word, with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your fathers. In other words, you're not taken out of that empty, futile, useless way of life that you inherited from your fathers by being purchased with silver or gold. Now, in the slave market scenes that you and I see in the movies and in Ben-Hur, they pay the silver or they pay the gold, but not God. God had to pay a higher price than silver. God had to pay a higher price than gold for you. What did he pay? Well, the next verse says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, verse 19, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You and I were redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God goes to redeem you out of the slave market of sin, He understands the price. He understands the ransom that has to be paid. He turns and He looks at His Son. Why? Because His Son had to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's what His Son said in the Garden of Gethsemane as He faced the agony of being crucified. As the cross awaited Him, He said to the Father, "If there's another way, if there's another way, please, please let me take it." And He says then, "Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done." And God's will was this, that His Son would pay the price for your redemption. Let's look at it again, and I want to take you to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And this is an awesome passage. This is a glimpse of what's going on in heaven. And as we look at what's going on in heaven, we find the 24 elders falling before the throne, and they're crying out in verse 9, and they sang a new song, "Worthy art thou to take the book and break its seals." Now, who is the thou? The thou is the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God that's standing before the throne. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's also the Lamb. And it says, "Worthy art thou to take the book and break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nations." Every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Our brothers and sisters in eternity will be all different colors, and they will be from all different nations. And we will be one family because we've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that thou has made them to be a kingdom and priests unto God, and they will reign upon the earth. You and I who deserve hell, you and I who are slaves, you and I who are captives to sin, you and I who are addicted to sin, can be set free. We can be healed totally, completely, absolutely, because that's what redemption wins for us. It wins our release from the slavery to sin through paying the ransom of the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish. What does that mean? That means that Jesus had to be without sin. Jesus had to be without sin. Because if He had any sin within Him, then He would have had to die for His own sin. And that's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, and we'll get it later, that by one man, by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. So you and I then are scheduled for death. We're scheduled for hell. But what does Jesus do? He redeems us with His blood. And He's able to do that because He's not a sinner. Because He didn't come by Adam. His father was not traced back to the genealogy of Adam. His genealogy is traced straight to heaven. God is His Father. That's the Son of God, born of a virgin, becoming a man, yet without sin, paying the ransom price for you and for me, precious one. That's how much God loves you. He wants to set you free from that slavery, and we'll talk about it when we come back after the break. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't?
something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is Help, Lord. Help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd.
Okay, you're back from the break now. What have we seen? We have seen that redemption is being delivered by paying a ransom. It's deliverance through paying a ransom. So we see that the redemption is in Christ. That's the only way that a person can be redeemed from the slave market of sin. But what does that redemption win for us? That's what I want us to see next. The redemption that we get through Jesus Christ, and this is so important, delivers us from the curse of the law. So you might want to write that down. It delivers us from the curse of the law. Now let me show you this, and let me take you to Galatians chapter 3. Now remember, Galatians is a mini Romans, okay? But we get insights in Galatians that we don't get in Romans, and so it all fits together. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And you might want to mark the word redemption again in your Bible. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now that was from the book of Deuteronomy. And the Bible said in the Torah that anyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. All right. Now, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is explained to us in the verses just before this. And so let me read it to you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. In other words, he gives you the law, and if you don't want to face the curse of the law, which is death, then you have to perform every single thing that was written in the book of the law. And you say, that's impossible. That's right. And we've seen that it's impossible. And we've seen that no matter how hard you try, that you're not going to be perfect. So our redemption has to come in another way. So the redemption that comes to us is is by Jesus becoming a curse. In other words, when he hangs on that tree, when he hangs on that cross, then God takes your sins, remember, and my sins, and puts them on Jesus Christ. So he redeems us from the curse of the law because he takes the punishment for us. And that's why God can say, and you need to understand this, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of liberty in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now let me show you one other place in Galatians, and that is Galatians chapter 4, and we want to look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And this is what it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So when you and I are redeemed, and we're redeemed from the curse of the law, then we become the sons of God. We become the children of God. The Bible says, as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the power, the authority to become the children of God. We're adopted into his family. And we're adopted into his family because God, in the fullness of time, sent his son from heaven to the womb of a virgin. There he confined himself in that womb. There he was born a human being. There he took upon himself the likeness of our flesh, yet without sin. And then when it was time, when the hour had come, Jesus hung on that cross. And Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. So he redeems us from the curse of the law. All right, now, he redeems us also from every lawless deed that we have done. And I want to take you to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Now, all the T's are together, and they come just before Hebrews. And Titus is, it's Thessalonians. It's the longest one's first. Thessalonians, then Timothy, then Titus. And let's look at Titus chapter 2, and I want us to look at verse 14, because all of these things, precious one, have to do with your redemption. So now look, verse 14, who gave himself for us, speaking of Jesus, that he might redeem us. Now that word for redeem is lutruo, L-U-T-R-O-O. It's the verb, which means to ransom, that he might ransom us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Now listen, once you're redeemed, God does such a work in you. We're going to see how he does that. But he does such a work in you that you then don't want to live the way you used to live. You don't want to live in that sin. You don't want to do those ungodly deeds and those ungodly acts of unrighteousness. You don't want to live that way. So he redeems you from those lawless deeds and he sets you free. He purifies you so that you can be zealous for doing good deeds. This is one of the ways you know whether you've been redeemed or not, whether God has truly justified you or not. Because if there's no desire to do good deeds, then you haven't been redeemed. You say, how can you say that? Well, because what I want you to see is that when you and I get saved, when we get redeemed, then the Holy Spirit is put inside of us. So the minute that our redemption is sealed, the minute we are bought by faith off of that slave market of sin, by faith and by the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you and I believing that, and you and I grabbing that, and you and I hanging on to that, then God puts his Holy Spirit within us. So let me show you this. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, and it's that way, I was going the wrong way. After Corinthians, it's General Electric Power Company. If you live in the United States, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we have this awesome verse. And I'm going to read it to you by taking you to verse 13 first. It says, in him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth. In other words, you hear the message of the Word of God. All right. You hear the message of the gospel. All right. Having listened to the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who? The Holy Spirit of promise. Let's say that my handkerchief is the Holy Spirit. All right. The minute that you get saved, all right, the minute that you hear that gospel and the minute that you believe, then God seals you with the Holy Spirit. Just, you've opened a can of coffee or tea, instant coffee or tea. What's on top of it? There's a seal on top of it. So you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this is the Holy Spirit of promise. So what happens? The Holy Spirit moves inside of you. The Holy Spirit moves inside of you. And so when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, He's there to indwell you from now all the way through. You're getting your brand new body. Now watch what it says. Who, the Holy Spirit, is given as a pledge or a guarantee of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Now, what is He talking about? He's talking about the redeeming of this body. So the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in you is your guarantee. It's your ticket that proves that you have been redeemed and that someday this body is going to, this mortal is going to put on immortality, this corruptible is going to put on incorruptible, and death will be swallowed up in victory, and the grave will have no victory, and death will have no victory because it can't hold your body because your body has been redeemed also. So this is what happens with redemption. So now when you read the word redeemed or redemption throughout the Bible, you ought to mark it the same way. I didn't tell you how to mark it, all right? The way I marked redemption was this. I marked it in red, in yellow, and I put a red light cloud around it. Why? It's God that redeems us, and He redeems us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So now you have redemption. And He says that this is your guarantee, that the Holy Spirit guarantees you the redemption of God's own possession, what He bought out of the slave market of sin. And you know what? We look forward to that glorious day. That glorious day when we will see Him as He is. And it says, and everyone that has this hope within himself purifies himself even as He is pure. And you're able to do that because you've been redeemed, because you've been justified.
All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.